Michael, I am so excited to be speaking with you. I have admired your work for so long,
Oh, thank you.
your television work, and to see you write and direct the best you can. It's only your second feature narrative film you've directed, which shocks me, given your pedigree. But boy, oh boy, this one, it is a winner from beginning to end. It's filled with heart, humor. There's a beautiful blend of drama and comedy that's inherent to day-to-day life. But what really stands out and reached out to me watching this is the ease of connection between the characters, given their unlikely backgrounds. 6 degrees of separation, an event can change everything. You would never expect a urologist and a security guy making this kind of connection and building it into a friendship. And I love that. Just love it, Michael.
That's so nice to hear. Thank you so much. I'm really, as we're on the eve of the film hitting the world, I'm obviously on pins and needles about how it'll go over. I've gotten some sense from Tribeca and a few other festivals, but it's not quite the same as just it being out in the world. So I really appreciate all you're saying. Thank you so much, Debbie.
But, from a cinematic standpoint, what really surprises me here is you're working with Andrew Wunder as your cinematographer, and coming out of television in a multicam format, I was kind of expecting to see a multicam kind of format with this. I didn't. I see you step away from that, you embrace cinematic styling. There is movement of the camera, there's freedom of movement with the camera. It's much looser, it's more playful, and it basically mirrors the relationship we're seeing develop between Stan and Cynthia. And I fell in love with that visual grammar. Fell in love with it. So
Well, that, yeah.
I'm curious about your conversations with Andrew and how the two of you developed the visual grammar for this film.
Yeah, that's a great question. Andrew was recommended to me by Victoria Hill, one of our producers who had worked with him on, he had been the DP for Paul Schrader on his previous film, and Victoria was involved with that. And I met with him, and I instantly knew that this was the guy. It's so important, for me. I'm not a director primarily. I learned to direct. I appreciate everything you're saying about the look of the film. And the first feature I did, I don't know if you ever saw, it was called A Little Help with
I
Jenna
did see
Fisher,
it.
was a great learning experience for me in terms of, I mean, I knew intellectually that there was a real difference between making a film that is meant to be taken seriously as a film and not just a sitcom writ large, the difference between that and doing a sitcom. And I never considered myself, a sitcom person exclusively or anything. It was just a medium that I loved and worked in for many years. But I was always a film lover and interested in film. When I saw You Can Count on Me in 2000, whenever that came out, I was blown away, and I said, "This is, I want to try to do something like this." Just a small movie about real people when crisis hits, in a way that everybody can relate to. And I tried to do that then, and and A Little Help, and then and I was learning my craft, and then on this film, I think I was, better prepared. But Andrew was such a vital, as it turns out, in retrospect, I would say a vital collaborator for me on this. He's so gifted and facile with camera movements. But also, what happened was we sat down in pre-production, for a series of several weeks, working every day. What was supposed to be, coming up with the shot list, as typically is done. But what I found was that Andrew had a very nuanced sense of story, and how the interplay between the visual and the written, and he made some wonderful script suggestions that all came out of, like, how are we going to bring this script into a visual world, and do you need this or need that, or could this be more like this? And he really helped me that way. But But more than that, being a, I'm not a, career director, and I wouldn't consider myself, primarily that or great at that. But I do have an idea of what I want things to look like and feel like, and I would just communicate that to him. Sometimes I had specific shots that I knew I wanted, but other more often it was along the lines of like, I just want this to feel whatever it would be, very, very claustrophobic. How we shoot that, let's be really tight. I want the audience to sort of feel that they're, kind of trapped or whatever the emotion may be. And he would suggest different ways to accomplish that visually, what lens to use. On the day we were, experimenting with different things, and let's try this. Okay, let's just try this a little bit wider and do that. And it was such a great collaboration. He's such a sweet and wonderful and talented guy. And everything that you're saying that you liked about that aspect of the film, would not have happened without him. I mean, I might have done something, credible and not embarrassing, but to the extent that you felt that it was more than that, that was really because of the collaboration that I was able to have with Andrew.
Well, and what's so wonderful, and you mentioned some key elements here. There are moments that we needed to feel claustrophobic, such as in Stan's apartment, which is extremely claustrophobic. And the camera, there's a lot of dutching happening there because he's really out of kilter. His life is so out of kilter. And you really, Andrew and the camera, really take advantage of that. We go to Cleveland and that hotel, and it's like Cynthia and Stan. This is, they dropped in from another planet. They're on another planet. There is nobody in the world but for them. And you see them really go through a metamorphosis, an emotional metamorphosis, actually, that is so freeing and so beautiful. And you've got that great shot where Stan comes out of the hotel room and is looking over the balcony, and it's upwards as far as the sky can see, and down, and it's clean and it's beautiful and it's empty and it's just them, and you feel the possibilities that they have in this world. And it's beautiful. And of course, then panic ensues after that, as it must, as it must. But I just, and then you get into these little club scenes for Stanley's daughter of Sammy that are so intimate and so clubby, low budget clubby. And we've all been in those kinds of clubs that don't even have a riser. And then the color changes, your color palette changes, it becomes darker, it becomes warmer, it becomes more intimate versus the brighter and lighter tone for the bulk of the rest of the film, which is very open as Cynthia and Stan are opening up. So you really have this so well designed. I mean, Andrew, the two of you have collaborated beautifully on the visual, tonal bandwidth and the visual grammar.
Well, thank you. And it's really wonderful to hear that obviously a cinephile such as yourself feels that way about it. I'm personally so close to it, and I like it, but I don't know how others. So really, thank you. That's really wonderful to hear you say all that. And certainly what we were going for. And in terms, some concerns ever emerged at various places about the whether there was tonal inconsistency between the comedy and the drama. And I never really thought about it in those terms. And the writing of it was very kind of visceral, and the script, once I had the basics, the script went where it wanted to go. And I, as long as I felt it was sort of paralleling the ups and downs and variations in mood and tone of a real life being lived over a period of months, then I felt it was justified to have things be very light and warm and funny and even silly, and then at other times, a lot of gravitas to it. As life, has taught us, is the way the journey goes.
I think tonally it's balanced beautifully, Michael. Nothing ever feels out of place. Nothing feels like it just got stuck in there. Trisha did a great job on the editing to help you find that. I just saw another film by Trisha the other day, Lost and Found in Cleveland. And Trisha has a great sensibility of balance in the editing to find that.
She was superb, and such a, again, someone I'd never worked with, but knew from when I first met her that I just felt that there was a simpatico there creatively. And working with her on the edit was so, I love the editing process. If the film is in the can somewhere, finding it in that mass of shot footage is the task. But if it's in there, which I believed it was, then finding it and assembling it is just a great joy because it's like another phase of the creative process, but without all the anxiety that goes with the actual shooting, where you don't know if it's going to be raining, you're supposed to be outside, the million things that could go wrong when you're shooting in the editing room. It's all safe, you can just put it together and solve the puzzle. And she was just wonderful. And there are a few things in the few moments in the film, the way they're edited, that really were all her. There were things that were in the first assembly, and I learned just over the many years of doing this that first assemblies, you have to really brace yourself and not expect to feel the thing you want to feel from what you made, even if it's a half hour of television. And her first assembly, there were things in the film that I didn't touch, major things. I think the scene in particular with Stan and Sammy, when she leaves the club and he follows her and says, "What the hell are you doing? I've had a riser. Why are you throwing this away?" That scene, I did very, very little to that scene after Trisha assembled it. She just was inside of it, felt it, knew exactly when to be on whom. And, and there, that's just one example. There are others, but, and then there are things that we just went over and we did 20 times until we got it just right. I was very precious about the jokes and the timing and just losing a frame or two just to make something. I'm from a sitcom world, so where there were laughs to be had, I wanted to make sure that we got them, but in terms of just the emotions and the moods and everything, she really understood what the goal was and executed it so well.
And of course, she's got some beautiful montages happening in there. Like the hour 14 mark, you've got the wedding crashing sequence, the dance sequence, which is just absolutely wonderful. The hour 21 mark, we've got the montage of Daddy's building a riser for his daughter, which is just, it's so beautifully shot, but we also feel the angst that Stan has. And one of the reasons why he's doing is taking out a lot of his angst and anger on that wood with that bandsaw. And it's so beautifully done. I'm so impressed with that. But it all comes down, and of course, the end title, it's a music video. It is fabulous. Just lift that out and market it as a music video, Michael.
It's so funny because I'd originally conceived that as like an Easter egg that would be buried in the end credits and be a little reward for anyone who hung around. And as soon as I showed that assembly, the people, they said, "No, you have to move it up right after the because no one will see it. They'll, then the streamers shrink the screen before you'll ever get there, that kind of thing." And I was told that I absolutely must move that up. And I've been actually, it's funny because Sony bought the film and they're now in the final stages of preparing it to deliver to the VOD sites and to Netflix. And I've been back and forth with their tech guy to make sure that there'll be no screen shrinking before that, because there is like 5 seconds of black that, is just such a, it's just asking for this, you have when you watch something and the moment it goes to black, they shrink the screen. So hopefully that won't happen and people will get to see that, because it is part of the, even though the credits are running now, once I did moved it up, I realized, oh, it's part of the movie.
It
It's
definitely
not just an
is.
Easter egg. It's like, sending them home with a good feeling kind of thing. The last scene with Stan and Cynthia, I think, ends on a very, melancholy but warm note. But this is like, all right, but now we're going to have some fun,
Yeah.
and the reward for having hung in there for an hour and a half and watching it.
It's a great reward. So I'm glad that you moved it because you are right. People just, number one, the streamers, they shrink it, and there's nothing worse than trying to find the button on your the remote to expand it back out so you can see it. Now, I would be remiss not to commend you and bring up your casting of Kevin and Kira. Your whole cast is great. Brittany O'Grady is wonderful. Mira is fantastic. Judd Hirsch, there are no words for Judd. But Kevin and Kira, when I saw that they were in this together, I was initially fearful that it might be kind of a meet cutesy kind of thing. But it's not. They really come across as strangers meeting. There's an ease to them, but it's not this automatic cutesy coupling. And I love that you shied away from that and that they were able to not go there. Was that difficult?
I'll tell you, we went to Kevin first, and he responded to the script, obviously. And when I met with him for the first time, he said, "Well, what about Kira for the other role?" And I was resistant. And the reason I was resistant is exactly the thing you cited, that I didn't want this to be, this was my baby. This movie, I wanted it to be a good film and not a hour and 40-minute Kevin and Kira extended Instagram post, And one of the concerns I had specifically was Kira, with her signature blonde curls, did not look to me like a New York City urologist. And so when I met with her the first time, one of the key things that, and not so much that the sun rose and set on this point, but it was, I knew it would tell me a lot about who she was because I never met her or didn't work with her. And I said, "What about your look?" And she said, here's what she said. I want to give her credit. I said, "How do we make this be two characters in this movie that are meeting and not, how do you distinguish who you are from Kira Sedgwick with Kevin Bacon?" She said, "By acting." And I with a little bit of edge too. And I said, "I love that answer." And then she told me she was very open to darkening her hair, having a wig, which is what we wound up doing. And I realized very quickly into the meeting that this was not a star who was looking to just sort of preen for the camera, and Kevin and Kira would be preening collectively. It wasn't that at all. I was dealing with two very professional, dedicated actors who took their craft very seriously, and I didn't need to do any coaxing at all for them to approach their roles as they would any other role when they weren't acting with their spouse. And in fact, I asked them not to rehearse together. To do all their preparations separately. And I work with them each individually on going through the script. And I did most of my directing of them before we started shooting. They absolutely respected that. And I think that created the effect that you, I'm so happy to hear that came through, that they weren't just kind of winking at the audience going, "Hey, it's us," but they were just in their roles and in the moment and playing it very, in character.
Yeah, there's no winking here. There is no
No,
winking,
no,
Michael. And we
no.
feel a growing connection between them. As the story progresses, as their lives progress through the months. And one of the great things that you have, and this is how you should use texting in a film, I gotta tell you, the texting sequences with their voiceovers, conversational voiceovers as to what they're texting each other, fantastic. And you
Yeah,
start
that's
out,
terrific
you've
to
got the
hear.
camera in on an individual line here, an individual line here. And then slowly, because of this burgeoning connection they're having and that we're having with them, then we see like half a page of text on the screen, things like that. It is so natural. It is just so refreshing to see it presented this way and to serve as so much exposition for our characters.
Oh, thank you. That was a real concern in how we would pull that off. And the transition from the seeing the written text to the voiceover was twofold. It was one, creatively, it was to sort of somehow subtly suggest that this was really, even though they're texting, they were in a very natural rhythm and it was really becoming a true conversation. And secondly, just to spare the audience from so much reading, but those two goals kind of work together. And we created the balance that I think, and one thing I just want to quickly say back to your original point or at the beginning of the meeting was that, the class difference, what I found kind of interesting is how in this age of, of electronic communication, texting in particular, that it gives the opportunity for people to become familiar and even intimate in a way that they never in a million years ever could have without that technology. Stan and Cynthia, there's no universe in which Stan and Cynthia become close like this in the pretexting era. It just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
They're not going to have phone calls with each other. You know, the security guard's not going to call them up and chat. So anyway, it was really a way to kind of use that as a plot device to create something that might not have been there a generation ago.
Now, I know Ainsley's texting me to end this, wrap this, but I do have to quickly ask you, Michael, this is only your second feature directorial. What did you learn about yourself as a director that you can take forward into the future?
I learned how important it is to work with, I can write a good script, and how vital the casting is, and you have to cast the right people who bring a certain essence to a part, to a role. You can then try to work with it or mold it, but they need to fundamentally be there. And if something is miscast, you'll never be able to direct anyone out of being miscast in a part. I learned a lot visually as a director, but I'll always need an Andrew Wonder with me. You know, I'm never going to be Martin Scorsese with a camera or anything like that, you know. But I also learned that, you know, my instincts in this realm are usually pretty good, and to trust them. And yet at the same time, be collaborative with others. So finding that balance, I think I'm getting better at that balance between what I see and what others are seeing and integrating them.
Job so well done, Michael.
Thank you so much. What a wonderful meeting this has been. I really appreciate it.
This is so entertaining, and it's so enjoyable. I'm going to watch it again. And I can't wait for you to direct another film and chat with you some more.
Okay. I look forward to that, too. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Michael. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye, Debbie.